The end of any even-numbered year features the departures of people from political office. One of those departures in the Oregon legislature comes not terribly long after an arrival. Senator Alan DeBoer of Ashland was first elected in the fall of 2016 for a special half-term ride in the state Senate. That was to finish the term of Senator Alan Bates, who died suddenly in the late summer of that year. Alan DeBoer never figured on a very long ride in the legislature, but he opted not to run for the full four-year term in this year's election. Jeff Golden is now the senator-elect, and Alan DeBoer has a chance to look back at a brief time in Salem. Senator, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
How different, I mean, as somebody who has worked in business for a long time, you're one of the figures in local car dealerships, you were the mayor of Ashland, and yet from all of that, I mean, did any of that prepare you for what the Oregon legislature was like?
Oh, I felt absolutely prepared. And I want to really thank everybody for giving me the opportunity for the two-year education I've got and for Phil and my former neighbor and very good friend, Senator Dr. Alan Bates, his last 2 years.
What are you going to do with that education?
That's a really good question. I have, I'm used to solving problems, so healthcare, education. I'm on the Student Success Committee, so we've driven almost 4,000 miles, been to almost every school, interviewed over 500 students. And so what do we do with the education? I combine it with all the other educations I have, from hospitals to school boards to the mayor. We need to fix the problems.
What would you say are the biggest problems? And I don't think I can't imagine you think you came close to fixing them while you were in the legislature. But what's the number one thing that you see facing Oregonians that has to be dealt with by the legislature?
Well, in Southern Oregon, it's the smoke. I mean, we have to fix the smoke. We everything we have, our health, education, our kids' access to the summers. We have to fix the smoke, or our whole economy here will be destroyed.
How can the state work on that, given that a lot of the land that burns is federal?
We've done a lot. I mean, Greg Walden's been in town numerous times. We've brought people that were frontline firefighters that talk in confidentiality. And I think you'll see changes coming. Oregon Department of Forestry is stepping up. There's so many things here in our limited time, we can't get there, but we need to put out the fires quicker in the summer. We need controlled burns. There'll be a controlled burn in Ashland today. We need to thin the forest. We need to log the forest. Actually, logging more will drive down lumber prices, which will help affordable housing. It's a combination of everything. And even, you know, there's a citizen in our area that wants to bring wild horses into the Siskiyou Monument. Those are all ideas. Let's try them all. I mean,
but to the logging part, though, because I'm sure we're going to get some resistance on that particular issue. I mean, there are areas that burned in the Klondike Fire, for example, that had burned in two previous fires in this century. So it's not like big trees were a big part of the problem there.
Well, I think everything's part of the problem. And we're not logging. Our forests are growing at a rate that is unbelievable every minute. And we're not even touching what Clinton's logging plan was. So, I mean, if we harvest half the forest growth, we still have the other half going. The forests are completely overrun. They haven't been maintained for years.
And yet you hear from people that taking out the larger trees, the fire-resistant trees, doesn't help the process so much as taking out the smaller fuels.
So maybe we shouldn't take out the larger trees.
Okay.
So you're taking, I mean, it's
so you don't, when you say logging, you don't necessarily mean old growth, for example.
No, not at all. And the Ashland Forest Resiliency Program, which was Mayor Kathy Shaw started, I implemented it, very successful, and it's a model around the state. It's terribly expensive. So, but, you know, what's not terribly expensive about all the health care? Captain Bill Simpson's wife is in critical condition in Portland over that. And my heart goes out to him because he's frontline fire, actually in Northern California, and lives right next to the monument. The health of our people, what's the cost to that? What's the cost to the lack of business? Even Ashland talked about a decrease in their hotel-motel tax. Each of that reflects down to jobs. Payroll for people. So we have to fix the problem.
What is it like to be from Southern Oregon and try to get people from other parts of the state to focus on the issues of the state when you're in the state legislature?
Well, unfortunately for Portland, the Dalles, they had smoke the last couple of years. So I think they do realize the problem.
All right, but in terms of the other things that are things that are unique to Southern Oregon or of greater interest perhaps to Southern Oregon than they are in other parts of the state, what's it like to be the senator from Southern Jackson County trying to get the attention of people from 35 other counties?
You know, I hear a lot of talk about Electoral College. Too bad we don't have it in Oregon, because actually Portland controls the vote of the whole state. And that's where the Electoral College, which I do support, gives smaller areas that information. You know, both of our House Minority Leader and our Senate Minority Leader are both from Grants Pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's pretty amazing that we will have voices there. And Carl Wilson and Herman Bearsugar are both very great people. And Herman's very active in firefighting. That's part of his career. So, yeah, we need people to listen. I call it listening to the minority, which falls into the Democrats listening to the Republicans.
We shall have to listen harder now, because there are 38 Democrats and 22 Republicans in the state House. It's a little better mix in the state Senate. Alan DeBoer is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, state senator from Oregon District 3, which is Southern Jackson County. He's from Ashland, and he's leaving the state legislature after half a term and ceding it off to somebody else to do. Jeff Golden will take the seat over in January. You can join the conversation about what this senator saw in his time in Salem, 800-838-3737. And jx@jeffnet.org. So what was the biggest frustration, would you say, with the legislative process, where you not only have to be collaborative, but you're hoping that you get the other party in the, to listen to you?
Well, right now there's 3,000 bills being written. Massive amount of staff time. I think the bills create as much problems as they cure. Voted on 870 bills. People question why the vote. I read every bill in my office. Every bill has a manila folder with all my notes on it, which is public information, why I voted. I'm more than happy to substantiate any vote I took. Last night I went to the Housing Committee meeting in Medford, public meeting. That was part of a bill we voted on in the short session. Kind of a waste of time. You know, the questions were, and it was a mandated meeting for Medford to do. We need to fix those problems. We need to fix housing. We need to fix education. We need to fix health care. And I'm a firm proponent of health care for all. It's rolling Medicare, getting rid of Medicaid, but it has to be revamped some. Oregon right now, I think, is $600 million short of budget on the Oregon Health Plan, $800 million short last budget on the Oregon Health Plan. It'll break the state. We need the feds to step up. And you know, as much controversy there is on President Trump, he may be the only person to cure that, because he's not political. And so we need somebody outside the box. If you follow the history during the early 1900s and all the votes that the United States Senate and Congress voted on, health plan for all, it's really interesting to go back through that history. But I think it's the only solution we can come to.
So you're saying Medicare for all, that kind of construct, where there's more Medicaid, there's just Medicare for everybody?
Well, you know, you run two systems, Medicare and Medicaid. If you have Medicare for all, that kind of covers the whole problem. We get rid of inefficiencies. We need to make sure hospitals get paid, doctors get paid a fair price. And you basically write a system that's a very basic health care. You tax businesses. One of the biggest problems, I have 200 employees. And we find employees now that can't really leave because of health care.
So they need to keep their coverage.
I would love to not have health care as a businessman and not have my employees. I mean, they should be able to change jobs without fear of health care changes. I've got actually have employees coming to me now that want me to lower their salaries so they can qualify for Oregon Health Plan.
Really? Does that happen often?
I've never seen it before. I had it twice in the last month.
Mm-hmm. So when you talked about things like this with fellow Republicans in the state legislature, I mean, you're talking about what is generally considered the exact opposite of what the National Republican Party platform is on health care. What kind of reception did you get among Republicans in the legislature?
Well, Republicans and Democrats. Mm-hmm. You know, the biggest thing you have up there when you're sitting in caucus is how will this vote determine my election? And will it hurt the other party? And I can go over bills and specific examples of that. It's a shame. And we need to fix campaign finance reform. I know that Jeff Golden We'll be pushing that. It's a simple plan. Ban corporate donations, ban union donations, ban nonprofit donations, personal checks only, no limits. I know Jeff ran on a campaign of not spending the money and not taking donations, although when you look at his final campaign, he spent $20,000 more than Jessica did, I think $570 to $550. But you have to include all the unions that bypassed the election rules, and Jeff had no control over that, mm-hmm. but they ran TV ads for him. Mm-hmm. So it's a system that's terribly broken. Just the governor's race, I think $35 million spent on terribly nasty ads from both sides.
On a state of 4 million people.
Yeah. It's like, really, where could that money have gone towards affordable housing, towards health care? I mean, we have a lot of people with a lot of issues and a lot of stress.
Senator Alan DeBoer is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's leaving the state legislature after roughly 2 years. Did you always know you weren't going to run for a full term, or was there always some question in your mind? And I ask this because when you talk about the people in the legislature and caucus worrying about the next vote, if you were always free from that feeling.
There's probably two votes that I took that I got talked into. Other than that, no, I voted against my party a lot. I actually wrote a tax plan. I don't know if you know that.
I knew you were involved with the writing of a tax plan. I was going to ask you what happened to that.
It never went anywhere. It was $600 million to PERS only. It only affected people over $250,000 and corporations. Measure 97, I reviewed explicitly. Really, the Betsy credits were the problem in that, so...
Business energy tax credit?
Yeah, DEQ. I mean, it's the biggest thing we need to do as a state is to give our directors the authority to run their department. And it's not the Senate and the House making bills to tell them what to do. It's letting them do their job. And I call it management from bottom up. The employees in the state know what the problems are. They don't feel free to talk about it.
So would there be less legislative oversight you're talking about then? Is it that?
I think legislative oversight's a very necessary thing, and there are things we should do, but I really want directors. And that's part of the thing I did over the 2 years. I worked with directors. I tried to encourage them, mm-hmm. tried to encourage them to return general fund budget back to their budget back to the general fund. And I'm going to turn back $2,000, which I could have bonused to employees or could have done something with, but $2,000 in my state budget will go back to general fund. And I'm proud of that. I think that I almost challenged in general government each director when they came up, is how much of the general fund can you return of your budget? Instead of the same thing we hear in government, let's spend it at the end or we won't get it next year.
Right, use it or lose it.
I would be proud to return and to show efficiency in government. And we need to put what I call the fire in the belly back to the directors, is let them be directors. Most people work for the state, not for the pay. But they go to work for the state to help. And we take that away from them as a legislator. So just the sheer number of bills, the workload you're there. I mean, I was in office at 7 in the morning, usually till 8 at night, and then I'd go back and read bills because I read every bill I voted on, including the 128-page transportation bill. You know, you rely on committees to come in and out and to pass bills forward. Some of the things, the pay equity bill is a complete mess. 100% of the senators and the representatives voted for it, by the way, and it's creating more problems in Salem and probably in private business, and it's a complete opening for trial attorneys. And that's, you know, the question is, who pushed the bill? I'm going to dig back into that because it came out of committee. And how do you vote against pay equity?
Right. That's a tough one.
I should have voted no.
Grab your headphones, Senator. We have a call for you. This is going to be Brian in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Senator Alan DeBoer.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Hi, this is Brian from Ashland. Senator DeBoer has, in several venues, promoted the idea of feral horses in the Siskiyou Monument. If the monument is set aside for biological diversity and the value of that area for the, you know, the plants and the everything that's up there, and yet, you know, what's the idea of turning loose a ground-eating, basically a four-legged lawnmower, into the monument? What's the science behind that idea? When, how's that going to help with fires? Thank you. I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you for that, Brian. Appreciate it.
Good. In Northern California, BLM's harvesting horses. We spend millions of dollars on them. There's a herd of about 50 horses in the monument today. The idea is that with the decimation of deer and natural animals that eat brush and stuff, that the horses would help. To bring 100 horses into the monument, I can't think of a better tourist thing. Back east when they did it, people were flying in to see herds of wild horses. And potential moving wild horses, 100 of them, as opposed to new regulations where you can actually ship them out of country. And BLM has this, we're spending millions of dollars. We need to try everything.
All right. So that was the major point, was just to give everything a try, particularly when it comes to reducing smoke. What advice would you offer? And I don't know if he's spoken to you. I imagine he's talked to you. But Jeff Golden, who's the senator-elect for the seat you hold now, what advice have you given him or would you give him?
I will work closely with Jeff. Last Friday, I had an opportunity to have Jeff sit on the Senate floor for my last hurrah and introduced him to the Senate. I urge people to go on. There's an app you can buy. It's a little picture of the Capitol called OLUS. Buy it and put it on your phone or put it on your iPad or put it on your computer. Go to the Friday meeting. It's just an hour long. Watch the last part of it where I introduced Jeff and what Senator Peter Courtney said about that. It's worth the watch, and I'll work closely with Jeff. I welcome him into the Senate. I give him the best, and he's moving into my office, moving into my chair on the Senate floor, which is kind of cool, which was Senator Alan Bates's office. I had the opportunity to erase the last thing that Senator Bates had on his to-do list on the whiteboard, which I was very pleased with, which was actually the mining in the Rogue River.
So it sounds like you have a lot of pride attached to your time in the Oregon Senate, but have no particular regrets about saying goodbye after just 2 years.
Well, if you're stuck into all the lobbyists, special interest groups, and people coming to you every 15 minutes with a knock on the door, and you don't have time to process the information at the end of the day, and then you've got 3,000 bills that are coming at you, and you can only spend time on your own committee work because there's no time for others, I think I can do more outside of the Senate. And we'll see. Everybody said when you lose the title of the senator, my job is to find somebody better than me to replace me in every line of work. And unfortunately, Jessica Gomez did not get elected, but she is an amazing individual. And she just got, we reappointed her, by the way, Friday to the Oregon Technical Institute board in Klamath Falls. And I'm working closely with her. I think she'll be working with Jeff. I'll be working with Jeff and provide resource on the day-to-day minutia and what we can do to help. But I want to look at the big picture, which is PERS, healthcare, education, and the state budget itself. I can cut $1 billion out of the state budget without affecting any program.
And he says it right at the end, just as we have to go. Okay, we'll have to call you back in sometime to get the information. Alan DeBoer will not be Senator Alan DeBoer much longer, but he's had an interesting ride, as you heard, in 2 years in the Oregon Senate. Jeff Golden takes the seat over in January. Senator DeBoer, congratulations, and thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Anytime I'm available.
Okay.